you do the math, and it's like less than 70% that Bama's going to win it. So as much as this is a historically great team, Alabama, and they are in the eyes of Vegas, the odds are less than 70% that Alabama wins.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We got an action-packed hour for you this Wednesday, including Dez Bryant. What does Vegas think? Duke, what does Vegas think? The College Football Committee, what does Vegas think? Bottom of the hour, the first preview of the biggest games of the football weekend. In studio with me, the pros who know. Steve Fezzik back from vacation, NFL expert, all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have the pros without the Joes. He's my favorite, Jonas Knox, voice of the fans.
Always good to be here, RJ, as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we start in college football. The brand new playoff rankings are out. The top four is as follows: Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the new top four in college football?
Well, we got Brad Powers here, college expert, to help us. Brad, here's my first thought. Michigan, Georgia, doesn't really matter who's four, because Georgia's not going to be in if they lose to Bama.
Correct.
And Georgia's going to be in if they win the against Bama.
Absolutely correct.
With the plan is SEC championship game projected for these two, almost certain.
Yep.
All right. So let's forget about that. And I think it was a smart move politically by the committee to say, hey, we had LSU a little high last week. Let's not put another SEC team in there. You agree?
Yep, absolutely. Although, we once again, LSU, as far as the SEC goes, LSU is the top two-loss team ranked out of any team in the country. Georgia's the top one-loss team ranked out of any team besides Michigan. Top three-loss team is coming out of the SEC. The committee still is very preferable towards the SEC.
And again, if you've got to play, and I would make the case entering this season, the Vegas perspective on the SEC was, yeah, Bama's mighty good, Georgia's pretty good, but everyone else not so good. If anything, LSU's better than we expected.
Yep.
Right? And Georgia's probably back to where we thought they were, maybe a little down.
Yeah, no, that I think that's totally fair. About the same as what we expected.
So in general, the SEC as a conference is stronger than Vegas expected.
Slightly stronger, yep.
Yeah, and then you got to add in Bama being historically good in that conference. Okay, next thing, and I disagree with Colin Cowherd and his take on this. And he said two different things. One was, he said, doesn't matter who's four ultimately, meaning come the playoffs themselves, because you're just going to be a sacrificial lamb. I don't think he used that exact phrase, for Alabama. And to me, this could be a longer discussion about the real true nature of probability, right? And there just was a midterm election, and there's debate about what the polls said versus what happened, and is Nate Silver good or is he bad at what he does? And think about it. If I had two dice or die, right, and I say the odds of rolling two sixes is 35-1, right, Fez?
Yes.
Okay. If I roll the dice and two sixes come up, people are going to say, oh, RJ, look how dumb. You said it was hardly any chance of two sixes. And there they are. No, I said there was 1 in 35. If we roll the dice a million times, if the dice are fair and the surface is flat, it's going to come up 1 out of 36 times, 35-1. Okay. Alabama is going to be the clear favorite over anybody. But the odds of Bama losing are far, far greater than Larry Bird missing a free throw in his prime. So we did some math at pregame.com, and we said, What's the odds of Alabama losing to Clemson if they matched up? And the numbers are, and this is just fact, this isn't even opinion, about 77% that Bama would win, 23% that Clemson would win. So imagine if they played every day for 8 days, a week in a day. Clemson wins twice. Okay? Now, I did so. Now I get Colin's main point was, well, one versus four would be tough. Okay. Well, let's just say Georgia's four, or a team like Georgia, Notre Dame. You know, they're all pretty close, right, Brad?
Notre Dame's lower than Georgia. Georgia, Michigan.
Michigan. Let's use that. Yeah. Let's say it's, yeah, that's a great one. Michigan versus Bama. The odds are about 15%. So one in seven or so. Once, if you play every day in a week, one time Michigan's going to beat Bama based on the odds. Now, if you think about it, now, wait a minute. If you have a 15% chance of Bama losing in game one and a 23% chance in game two, you do the math and it's like less than 70% that Bama's going to win it. So as much as this is a historically great team, Alabama, and they are in the eyes of Vegas, the odds are less than 70% that Alabama wins. I don't think people understand that. I think you're hearing a lot of smart people say, ah, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. No, they're clear favorites. But Larry Bird only missed 1 out of 10 free throws, but he missed a lot of free throws. Thoughts?
Well, first off, you won't hear that take, particular take, breaking down the odds on any other show. That's why we're straight out of Vegas. To me, yeah, I mean, looking at Alabama, obviously very impressive performance, huge upgrade over Alabama after last week. But to me, Michigan's better, clearly better than LSU. Clemson's significantly better than LSU. Before we start crowning Alabama, they've only played, in my opinion, one top 10 team so far.
And that's the paradox. On one hand, we do. Right now, you believe Alabama's clearly the best team you've seen in the last decade.
Yep.
But by the same token, they have a greater than 30% chance not to win the title.
Next, we go to college basketball, where Duke came in a slight underdog last night and blew out the Kentucky Wildcats 118-84, handing John Calipari the worst loss of his coaching career. RJ, what does Vegas make of the dominant performance by the Blue Devils?
And Jonas makes a great point. Duke was an underdog. And Brad, you do college football and basketball, all the college knowledge. You have a drastic upgrade with Duke. Explain.
Well, first and foremost, I was taught by, you know, Fezzik, you, a lot of other people in this industry, do not overreact to one single game. Even though my better gut instinct says don't overreact, I am going to make a significant upgrade here on Duke. And keep in mind, right on this show last night, I liked Kentucky -2 in that game last night. But to me,
that takes guts to admit.
Oh, my goodness. to me, I cannot, after watching that performance last night, not have Duke clearly as a favorite now in my current power ratings over Kentucky. I'm upgrading Duke 4 points after just one game.
Now, were you feeling like that you maybe you shouldn't mention that and you hope people would forget that you had Kentucky?
No, we mentioned the winners and the losers here on Straight Out of Vegas. That's what separates us.
Gambling. Say anything about gambling. It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Well, it's gambling. Fez.
And I would argue the reason to really upgrade Duke is that they really played two games last night. The first half, Duke won 59-42. The second half, same score. Duke won 59-42. So complete domination throughout both halves. Very impressive.
So now each halves of a game count as two?
So often when I see Duke play RJ in the second half, Coach K takes the air out of the ball, and it's a very, very slow-paced second half. These are not your father's Blue Devils. They just kept the pedal to the metal for the entire game.
This is your new theme song.
I like it better than bananas.
Because when you get started, there's a look in your eye like you know you're heading down the wrong road, but you got to keep going. And The beauty is when the horns come in, when you start trying to talk up over the music, the horns are going to just, it's going to be wonderful. You're insane. I mean, I get the idea that you can say it's 10% more impressive. There's a final score at the end of the game, right? So, and if somehow, let's think about this. How much did Duke lose by?
Well, Duke won by.
Oh, I'm sorry. How much did Duke win by?
34 points.
Okay. So if they had been up 34 at halftime and played the second half even, or vice versa, tied at halftime, won by 34 in the second, or pretty much split and split, you'd have like different conclusions?
Possibly.
No, this is where you just stop. Just say, you're right. That was a crazy comment.
You're right. That was an extreme comment.
All right, we'll let him off the hook there. We'll let him off the hook. That said, the markets didn't react necessarily like it was two games, but the market reacted drastically. If you would have bet, Brad, Duke to win the title 24 hours ago compared to now.
Right around. Consensus line, Duke to win the title 24 hours ago, 5-1. Duke was the favorite as far as title odds, even though they were an underdog last night to Kentucky.
Okay, and now?
Duke plus 250. I mean, that's a significant change after just one game.
Yeah, so literally if you had bet $100 yesterday on Duke, you would have got paid $500 if they win the title months from now. Today, you bet $100 on Duke, you only get 250, half as much off the one game. To me, it's an overreaction all the way around. Even if you count just as one game, in my opinion, it's an overreaction. That said, when you have zero real games, like we had 24 hours ago, and now you have one, that game that takes you from zero games to one game is probably the most important game because it's the only info you have that's fresh compared to what we knew all offseason. And what we knew was Duke had a heck of a recruiting class. When we come back, we will talk about Dez Bryant and see if Fezzik has any crazy theories about his value.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This program brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com today and find out if you could save.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, coming up here in just a moment. An NFL All-Pro has a brand new home. We'll get to it here in just a moment.
Every day we bring Vegas straight to you from the Strip, and right now the weather, you know, actually producer Mackie is supposed to give me the weather. He didn't. So we're going to say it's unknown. But when I was walking in today, I would say, I'm guessing 70. We'll see. What,
maybe 74.
You want to gamble on it? I'll say.
Making it over under?
I'll say 75.
74.
Fez?
I'll go over.
Over? Where are we betting?
I'd press the button.
Yeah, get green button.
Wait a minute. I got squeezed. I can't be in the middle of that. No bet there. These guys are too sharp, or they watch the prices right too long. I say the first one, 75. You say 74 and you say 76. Huh, maybe I should bet on this. I've got one number to win.
Well, 1975 was a good year. The Reds won the World Series.
What does that even mean?
75.
You know what I'm going to do? Fezzik's mic's getting turned off for 5 minutes. It's 320. No, I'm serious. 320? He's not talking to 325. Try to talk. See? You can't hear him, can you? Your voice is gone. Oh, by the way, it's 73. And I don't know what the neon's doing. All right, so let's do this. Jonas, what should we do next?
Well, let's get
Guys doesn't have his mic for your 5 minutes.
Well, we've got some news out of the NFL because the Saints signed former Cowboys All-Pro wide receiver Dez Bryant earlier today. So, RJ, you being the voice of Vegas, what is the Vegas perspective on the move by New Orleans?
Now, we got Brad Powers, who knows his NFL. Brad, you can kind of mimic. And if anything, his mic being off. If I see if it's on yet. Hello? See? he's tapping on it. That's actually funny. All right, I'm going to give you a 1 minute reprieve. 24, I'll turn it on because you were funny right there. Fez was going to say some crazy stuff about
this.
So now you've got to somehow mimic it.
Oh, wow. Right?
So Fez believes that about 100 players in the NFL, other than quarterbacks, move the needle. And other professionals believe there's about three dozen. So about 36 or 100. And Fez is on the far end. I disagree. I'm more of a 36 guy. But there's a lot of people that will agree it's closer to 100. Where do you come on that?
I'm more with the three dozen.
Yeah, smart. Oh, wait, you agree. Yeah. So Dez Bryant, we use the word all pro, except just like Lynn Swann was an all pro, right? And Cliff Branch, we can go down. Jerry Rice. Like, imagine how excited we would be if the Saints had signed Jerry Rice today. Not very, right? Dez Bryant is like a tomato at Kroger's that's been sitting there for 11 weeks, and everyone that passed by said, oh, no, thank you. I'm not interested in having that tomato in my salad. But then the idea that someone would rush up, someone that's been there, a grocery shopper, many other times, and say, oh, wait a minute, this tomato got a little bit older. Everyone else has passed on it. But I now think this tomato is one of the 100 most valuable tomatoes I've ever seen. How crazy would that be?
So I'm going to answer this as fast?
No, let's stay logical with this. So now he's in 30 seconds, his mic comes back on, so he'll get a chance. So what do you think? We'll let Fez have his take.
Yeah, I don't think Dez Bryant's worth anything right now to the Saints.
And do you think he's going to be worth something like by the end of the year?
Maybe worth something by the end of the year. To this particular Saints team, generally speaking, to any other team, nah, he wouldn't be net neutral. No major difference.
All right. Fez is almost ready to come back.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, Fez, you're back. Make your case.
He won't move the needle, Dez Bryant, at all right now. We're all in agreement. But because the Saints only have one stud wide receiver right now, there's a possibility that as the year goes on and he learns the systems, and if he's not a disruption to the team, by the end of the year, Dez Bryant could make a difference.
If and when.
Yeah. You've gone so far. I mean, you're stand loud and be proud with your wacky ideas. Have you really changed your mind, or are you just punch drunk right now?
He was the number one wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys clearly are missing him if he can.
Well, hold on a second. The Cowboys know. One of the things I think we can agree with for sure is the teams that have a player know that player a lot better, right? The Cowboys knew Dez better than any, like probably better than all other teams combined, correct?
Yes.
And what did they say?
They said no thank you to any kind of big contract.
Right. And they also said at some point, if Dez, once he made the rounds and he saw that no one else was giving him a big contract, he could have easily came back to them and said, hey, you know, this contract's what, $1 million if it were the season? So that means the day before today, every team in the NFL said, no, Dez, we won't take you for less than $500,000. Because I guess prorated throughout the season, he would have been like the low, it would have been the veteran's minimum. So like literally the backup long snapper on the worst team in the NFL, on the Bills, is getting the salary, unless he's a rookie or something. Like any, the veteran backup long snapper on Team X is literally making as much as Dez. And yesterday, everyone said, no, thank you. That tomato, you just stay where you are. So, but now he's going to be one of the most 100 most valuable players in the NFL, non-quarterbacks?
You make a great point. And Dallas would rather have Cooper, who barely moves the needle, and they're paying him a whole lot more money as their number one wide receiver.
Well, but you said you thought Cooper was like the 25th best receiver in the NFL, right?
Yeah, and that barely moves the needle. He's just a little bit.
Yeah, but he does move the needle, All right. So right now, where do you think? I mean, by just the math of it, every NFL team has what, 5 receivers? So there's 150 receivers in the NFL, or you know, a little bit more, 160. And no one thought Dez Bryant was one of the 160 best. You think he's one of the best 100 non-quarterbacks potentially.
Not right now.
Now, I agree with you in the following way. When there's a big absence on a team, so Josh Gordon, there was no playmakers on the Pats, you add him in, he becomes a playmaker. He can be more valuable with a certain team than another team. But the Saints haven't had a second receiver at wide receiver the whole year, and they have one of the best offenses. So it's hard to say there was a big glaring absence, right?
Yeah, because Drew Brees throws the ball to Kamara, and he's essentially a running back that's also a receiver.
I mean, listen, we're going to call this one on points, but Joan, is from a fan's perspective, what do you think of the signing?
I think it's more of a decoy to free up some space for Michael Thomas. I mean, if Dez Bryant plays
but
well.
That assumes, but I'm sorry, Jonas, that assumes the teams that just passed on him think he's worthy of double teaming.
Yeah, he only had one legitimate offer, and it was from Baltimore, and it was like a 3-year, $21 million deal, reportedly that he turned down. But nobody's been knocking on his door since. I mean, the Browns didn't even make a run at him, and the Browns traded away Josh Gordon, so they didn't make a run at Dez Bryant. So, yeah, I think that this is a team desperate for some sort of help, but I don't know how you can rely on this guy to make any sort of impact.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think... And Colin makes a great point with this. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas breaking down the Dez Bryant trade or signing. No one would trade for him. Colin makes a great point. When you are super talented, it makes sense that people are going to accommodate you, right? So the prettiest girl, the model, maybe she shows up late an hour. Have you ever dated a model, Jonas?
Yeah.
You have.
They show up late a lot.
Okay. Yeah. And were you a little more tolerant?
It got annoying after a while. And I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut.
But it would have got annoying a lot faster.
Oh,
right?
She got away with a lot more. Trust me. Yeah. Of course.
So I think what's important to realize is two things. One,
women weaken legs.
And two, when you have a lot of value to provide, whatever that value is, people make accommodations. Dez, since what? I'm guessing when he was 9 or so, they probably figured out this kid was going to be a great athlete. He was getting a lot of, not saying he didn't have things that were hard in his life, but he was getting special treatment. And to me, it's hard when your talent, whatever it is gone and you wake up one day middle-aged and again, not that Dez is quite middle-aged. It's, you know, that's the irony of the NFL, right? You're in your early 30s, but you're old. But you wake up where you're past your prime in this sport, at least, and you haven't learned the hard lessons, and it's hard to blame them. Like, to me, I'm a big personal accountability guy. I'm not one to say, oh, excuse this or excuse that. But boy, if no one ever forced you to act like everyone else, it's going to be hard to say, you know, I should act like everyone else, even though I don't really have to, right? So in a way, yeah, he's got a big bank account, so it's hard to feel too bad for him. But Dez no longer being a super talent means the tolerance level for his shenanigans are way low. And boy, unless he gets the right coach or the right parent or the right, you know, whatever growing up, or maybe even in your 20s, but boy, you get to your 30s, it's kind of hard. I don't know many people. I'm in my mid-40s. I don't know many people that changed much between 35 and 45, right? I know a lot of people that changed between 16 and 26. At a certain point, it gets tough. I think it's probably tough now for Dez, and I think that's one of the drivers of why, even though he probably is one of the 160 most talented receivers, he didn't get signed till now. In just a minute, we're going to break down the 3 biggest football games, the first look of the weekend.
That's coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Byer.
There was another signing in the NFL outside of Dez Bryant as Bruce Irvin found a home, free agent linebacker inking a deal with the Atlanta Falcons. There were reports that Irvin had opportunities to join the New England Patriots and Pittsburgh Steelers. for more money than he got for the Falcons, but instead chose to go to his hometown team. Sam Darnold has a sprained foot, and the New York Daily News says he will not play against the Bills coming up on Sunday. Josh McCown would get the start in his place. All Jets head coach Todd Bowles had to say today was that Darnold is day-to-day with a foot injury. Dolphins head coach Adam Gase says quarterback Ryan Tannehill will miss Sunday's game at Green Bay with a shoulder injury, and they hope he can return in Week 12 as they have a bye in Week 11, so Brock Osweiler gets the start. The MMQB.com is also reporting that the Dolphins were fined for the way that they handled Tannehill's shoulder injury earlier this season and when it came to reporting injuries. No practice today for Seahawks running back Chris Carson because of his hip injury. They've got the Rams coming up on Sunday. Nuggets center Nikola Jokic fined $25,000 by the NBA for using derogatory and offensive language following a game last week against the Chicago Bulls. Raptors forward Kawhi Leonard probable to play tonight against the Kings. He's got a sore ankle but is expected to give it a go. Jimmy Butler going to play for the Wolves against the Lakers, but no Dwayne Wade tonight for the Heat. He is out against the San Antonio Spurs. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And listen, let's give Fez some credit. He surprised Brad. They had a weightlifting competition. Now, Fez, you are how old?
54.
54. He looks young for his age. I'll give him that. He's 54, and like a month ago, he said, I can bench over 200 pounds. And I looked at him, and I would have, at the time, I would have said, I would have laid 5-1 again, like 500 to win 100. No, I would have been no. But as time went on, he kept bringing it up. Maybe we should bet. Maybe we should bet. Now, my thought was just benching one rep when you're young, yeah, it's fine. But when you get past 40, you want to try to find like a conversion, like 155 eight times or whatever equals 200. So when he kept wanting to bet it, I said, okay, I'm going to allow this, but not a single rep. He's got to find the conversion. Brad, you were on my side.
I was, and I bet Fez and Mackie and all these other people here at pregame that Fez couldn't do it. I put $500 against Fez. And what happened was Fez got me, and he got me good. Not only did he do the conversion, RJ, the 155.8, but then he showed off afterwards and put up over 200 pounds just to rub it in.
That was interesting. Now, again, here is a great tip. I've never said this before on the radio. We'll give it a world premiere because this is an important, this will make you money, this tip. If someone, we shouldn't have sad music about this tip. If someone knows so much more about something than you and they're anxious to bat you, be very afraid. So imagine if someone says, I bet I've got 113 $1 bills in my pocket. Now, just randomly on the street, if we picked someone out and said, I wonder what the odds are they have 113 $1 bills in their pocket, we'd say that it was a long shot, right?
Yep.
But if the person walks up to you and says, hey, Brad, I want to bet you that I have 113 $1 bills in my pocket, what are you thinking? Right?
I don't want to make that bet.
Fez lifts. It's not like it'd be one thing if a guy had never golfed for 5 years and he says, I can golf, you know, an 80 on this course. Now he doesn't know any more than you. He just knows how he used to golf. Fez works out. So when he's throwing specific weights at us, you should have been, where? You're going to put that one in the bank?
That is. Powerful point.
RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas.
It's like when Danny Ainge calls you to make a trade. You know, you got to be leery.
He knows more, too. That's
right.
True.
Guys, we're going to take an early look at some NFL and college football games this weekend, and we're going to start. We mentioned Dez Bryant, his former team, the Cowboys, on Sunday Night Football are at the Eagles. Philadelphia, a 7-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
So, Fez, Philadelphia won the London game, looked good there. But if you look at the stats, this team is playing the Eagles as well as any point during the season. And I don't think any, you know, the average fan sees that.
Yeah, it's a great point. Consistent improvement for the Eagles. What's going on? Bad quarterback play in September. Foles was the quarterback first two games. Wasn't very good. Uh-oh. Let's get Wentz in there. Rushed him back. He wasn't ready to go. He had two subpar games in September. Since then, this Eagles offense has been clicking.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at yards per attempt for Wentz, which is, are you going downfield? Because oftentimes, and we saw this with Tannehill, your yardage can look good in a game or two because of yards after the catch. But if you look at yards per attempt and then account for yards after the catch over a season, because most teams are going to be in a general range, so you don't even have to account for it oftentimes, Wentz is going downfield, which is what he was best at last year, the third and eight type conversions, the typical field general, the typical game manager wasn't able to do. Wentz was able to do last year in a borderline MVP season before he got hurt. When he came back, not as much, but that stat kept improving as he's gotten healthier and more confident, more aggressive, and the team's play calling, the Eagles, got more aggressive. So as you look at this game, Dallas is a team, and we'll be easy on you on this one. Dallas is a team, quite frankly, that you had some strong, we won't even repeat what you said. You had some strong feelings about their defense. I think you've reevaluated.
Absolutely. And I went back, and sometimes, you know, you got to check your ego at the door, and sometimes you're just wrong. I had Dallas's defense highly rated. I took a look at who Dallas has played year to date, and as it turns out, they've not played one elite offense, and that made their overall statistics better than they really have been year to date. And now we got more concerns. Sean Lee, my middle linebacker that I've been stressing how important he is. I think he's more important than the marketplace does. But bottom line is
him and Dez Bryant, how do you compare the importance?
Sean Lee is more important, but Sean Lee is out till week 14 now, so that's not going to help matters as well. Two teams going in opposite directions.
Eagles Sunday Night Football favored by 7, a touchdown at home against those Cowboys.
Guys, maybe the best game on the NFL slate this week is actually Thursday Night Football. Tomorrow night on Fox, the Panthers at the Steelers. Right now on pregame.com, Pittsburgh is a 3.5-point favorite.
So, Fez, you're the perfect guy to talk to about Carolina. Because there's been Carolina pessimism like crazy. Just think, two games ago, Baltimore at Carolina, and on Sunday you could have gotten a 3. Baltimore is favored by 3 at Carolina, which implies 6-point flip for the home field. It implies that Baltimore would have been a 9-point favorite at home over Carolina. Well, they beat Baltimore, and Carolina's played well since, but their stats aren't great. So on one hand, the eye test, the schedule, or the one loss record, oh my God, Cam, offensive coordinator Turner's playing really, or scheming him up, everything's great, O-line's playing well, the stats saying otherwise. Are you coming around on Carolina, or are you a skeptic? Because right now the marketplace is saying Carolina is just a smidge below the Steelers. Home field's 3. Home field on Thursday is worth even more, half the prep time. And right now the line is 3.5. So they're saying Pittsburgh's just a smidge better. Why the big change on Carolina going from being underrated, I think, significantly, to now maybe being overrated?
Well, I think that the Norv Turner idea that he's helping Cam be a much better quarterback is absolutely valid, and we're seeing improvements. And I think
improvement from when to when?
From the beginning of year to current time.
Really? I feel like they played well at the beginning. They're playing well now. I mean, so what you're saying is we've been right, and when I say we, I mean you, all along, and it's just they've just kept getting better and better? Because did you make like your most gigantic bet of the year on Carolina plus 3 against Baltimore?
I did bet them.
Yeah, gigantic?
It was a big bet.
Would you have bet it at 2.5?
Oof. Probably a small bet.
All right. So the fact that in like a couple weeks, there's been like just mathematically, we're saying they've been upgraded like by 5 or 6 points, because Baltimore and Pittsburgh were considered even coming into last week. So we're really saying Carolina's been upgraded 5 or 6 points, and you're acting like it's all just par for the course. There's been a real reevaluation.
Yeah, reevaluation. And I tell you what, I can't get past the fact that Carolina won a couple games that were very fortunate, including a 63-yard field goal to beat the Giants. Clearly, they're playing better now than they were a month ago.
So are you going to make a gigantic bet on Pittsburgh?
I like Pittsburgh.
What's your power rating say?
My power ratings have Pittsburgh 2 points better.
So they should be five here. And they're 3.5, and there's even low vig on it.
And it's a Thursday night game, and I lean to the home teams. Typically, I'm betting Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh.
All right, well, tomorrow we'll have an update on that. When we come back, we've got the biggest NBA games of the night with some picks.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. We have got college football coming up later on tonight. Some action, if you will, as Northern Illinois is a 3.5-point favorite hosting Toledo.
Jonas loves saying Max.
I love it.
Like, it's kind of cute. Did you make that up?
No. I probably stole it from somebody. I don't remember. Might have been drunk at a bar and I heard somebody say it.
With the model, you were like upset,
right?
That model?
Yeah, she hadn't shown up.
Stood you up?
Yes, absolutely.
Brad, we pride ourselves. We're live, 6 to 7 Eastern. When there's games at night, we're going to give you the info.
Yeah, and I like Northern Illinois, so I'm going to bet Northern Illinois -3.5 here. But let's talk about Northern Illinois' opponent, Toledo. Last two games, the market says, hey, Toledo, after a disappointing start of the season, finally the Rockets are back to being one of the best teams in the MAC. They just blew out back-to-back opponents. Whoa, Nelly, hold the horses. Toledo hitting value here on Northern Illinois because Toledo just played two teams with backup quarterbacks. So those blowout wins, misleading. That creates value on Northern Illinois. I like Northern Illinois a lot. I bet Northern Illinois. Give me the Huskies -3.5.
Okay, so when you said, whoa, Nelly, did you plan that?
No.
Was it? It just came out.
Yeah.
Brad Powers.
My inner Keith Jackson.
Coming strong. Coming strong. By the way, just walked in the Vegas studios. Maddie Holt, who's on our Super Contest team, $5,000 entry. It's the most expensive contest in the world. We are 65% on the season, 5 NFL games a week. We're right at the top, winner take all 700K. So warning, if we win that one, that Monday, we might be hungover. We'll be here, but we might be hungover. Haven't had a losing week yet. Not a losing, and by the way, on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, every Sunday morning, I'll put out the 5 picks we made at RJ in Vegas. Not one losing week.
Straight Out of Vegas brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. We have a couple of nationally televised games in the NBA. First up, it is the 76ers at the Pacers, Indiana, a 2.5-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
Fez, NBA is the second sport that you originate in, and you were just right on with the Sixers. Before the season, you were skeptical.
Yeah, they lost 2 role players, Ilyasova, Bellinelli, guys that the market doesn't pay much attention to. They both can bomb from 3. They're really missing that bench this year.
All right, so you went over it a little fast. The market doesn't pay attention to. Why? Because they're not starters, right? Like, let's use the Raptors, right? You've got a player on the Raptors you love. What's his name?
Fred VanVleet.
And he doesn't start, but you think he moves the needle, right?
I do.
But here's the thing. I think sometimes you go overboard with that stuff, but I also know this. It's actually the flip side of Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant is a big name. Dez Bryant, if you're putting together a fantasy team and you've been asleep for 2 years, maybe you put Dez on. These kind of guys, you're going to say, wait a minute, Sixers got their core, got the Embiid, he's going to be healthy. These are guys people aren't as worried about. But if you look at their record, 6-5 straight up the Sixers, and they've been outscored. They've been outscored this season, so really they're worse than an average team in theory. You were right on.
Guys, the Lakers are hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves coming up later on tonight. L.A., a 6-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
And Lakers, 4-6 straight up, 4-6 straight up, 3-7 against the spread. The spread is the great equalizer. So the idea, oh, Lakers maybe aren't winning, but they're playing. No. If you were to bet them 10 times, you are literally going to only have one. Actually, looking at it, yeah, 3-7. That's right. And then on the other hand, you got Minnesota. Lot of distractions.
Yeah, the whole Jimmy Butler, will he play tonight? Will he not play tonight? That is really causing a rift for this team chemistry.
And if you look at their ATS, Minnesota, 4-7 against the spread. And even worse, they've been outscored against the spread by 55 points. So if you would have said, okay, 11 games, literally by 5 points a game, Minnesota has fallen short of expectation. And I think that follows the theme, which is things like, oh, there's dissension in the locker room because of Butler. That's not the kind of thing you're going to think really is going to affect the team or the 76ers with their bench players. But oftentimes, the things that make the headlines, the things that lead the TV shows, are not the things that drive the Vegas results.
The Odd Couple coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific Time, for an early look ahead at Thursday Night Football right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!